Don't touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.
All right, everybody. Larry Lawton here. We have a great show today. I got my good friend and one of the best podcasters out there, Ben Kissel, my buddy. He is all the way from California. We're doing a little technology here. Yes, me, 62, and technology. I still suck, everybody. But before I get started, let's thank my sponsor, which is Oliva Cigar, Crook and Diamond Cigar. We're really doing good stuff, and we're going to get into this podcast where, of course, Nick is here with us. So all you guys, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nick. No, thanks for having me, Nick, and thanks for having me, Larry.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
No problem.
So, Ben, you're in the show. Let's talk a few things. Ben, you know, you're all over the news. You're very well educated. Our last show, we got a lot of comments saying, man, he knows his stuff, which is true.
Right.
What do you think of O.J. Simpson dying at 76 years old?
I mean, Orenthal, James Simpson, he's officially dead. My God, what a roller coaster of a life he had. Fantastic running back for USC, Buffalo Bills, an amazing actor with Naked Guns, a small snafu with the possibility that he murdered two people. Although if he didn't, the suspect list just got smaller. So if you are a detective out there, it's OJ's off. He's done. So go find the real killer. But Mr. Simpson, I have a bone to pick with him, and I'd go to the coroner's office right now and slap him in his damn face for what he did to me when I was a child. 1994, New York Knicks versus the Houston Rockets, Game 5, NBA Finals. The Knicks were only there one other time other than that in my lifetime. And this guy has to go on a white Bronco chase. It took forever. All of a sudden, I'm listening to Marv Albert talking about how he likes to get his bat bit and talking about John Starks and all these great things. And then next thing you know, I'm watching this low-speed car chase, which annoys the hell out of me to this day. Patrick Ewing was on his way to a double-double. The Knicks ended up winning that game. That was the last game they won the whole damn series. So, OJ, I give him a mulligan on what may have transpired that evening with his ex-wife and her current boyfriend. But what he did to me as a child regarding the New York Knicks and missing that basketball game, I'll never forgive the bastard.
How much money?
I love it.
Lunch money.
You know, it's funny, Ben, because, you know, you just hit me with all that stuff. I'm a Knicks fan. I remember the 69. Now, boy, my age and myself. The Knicks back in the day, Willis Reed, Phil Jackson, and you know, when they did stuff back in the day. Going to games
before Phil Jackson decided to come and be our general manager, inside job to sabotage the New York Knicks. He was still upset with the way that we beat the hell out of his Chicago Bulls. Yeah, sure, they won every goddamn series, but you know what? It was an inside job, and he tanked the entire franchise for years.
You know, Ben, obviously you know this as well as I do, that Phil Jackson is probably one of the best coaches in basketball, and not so much for X's and O's, because I think they all can do that. I think for psychology, I mean, he knew how to handle egos, and that's what it's about in a professional level, I think.
It is.
But you're giving him a pass on the murder?
I'm not giving him a pass on the murder. I'm just saying, I mean, we're going to go with what the jury decided. They said, oh, that glove does not fit. We got to acquit. It's not just a great rhyme. It was, he had one of the most expensive defense teams of all time. It was what it was, and obviously with the O.J. Simpson trial, it shifted, right? Because the LAPD did have a lot of issues, a lot of internal corruption, a lot of problems, a lot of negative standing with the society of Los Angeles. So OJ almost became secondary in that OJ Simpson trial. We had Jay Leno and his big, you know, big old chin having the dancing Itos on the Tonight Show.
Yeah. Judge Ito.
Double murder trial, right? And it was just like, look at this judge. I wonder what's under the robe. I mean, everything was just so goofy around it. And then it more became an indictment on the LAPD. And OJ was like, my hands are too big. And everyone's like, well, that's the small amount of doubt that they needed, because the LAPD fucked up.
Hey, if the glove don't fit, you can't acquit. You have to acquit. But, you know, Ben, here's what I thought about the case. And we talked about it last night, not even knowing he passed away. This, I was out with a bunch of friends. And, you know, listen, as a guy who's got a law degree and talk about the law, in my eyes, listen, the man was found not guilty. That doesn't mean you're innocent. He's found not guilty, right. Which is important because an outset set of values. Technically, by law, Ben, he was supposed to not be judged or even, in other words, his criminal history is gone, everything else. He was acquitted, and it actually, after a jury acquittal, which is the best acquittal you could ever get, not even a judge's acquittal with what they call with prejudice. So what happened here, Ben, to me was, when he got arrested for getting his memorabilia back, they sentenced him, I feel, and most people do, for what he didn't get convicted of.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the word prejudice, and obviously the two words, Mark Furman, come to mind. It doesn't really help that he was on, you know, the on record saying the N-word like a lot. And again, that's why that murder trial became so much larger than what it was. And in America, this was the beginning of a true crime television boom. You know, pizza sales during the O.J. Simpson car chase, again, car crawl, let's be honest. That was my only thing as a kid. I was like, speed it up. Let's go. Don't you have places to be? My God. But pizza sales, for example, you know, this is before everything got delivered with Uber Eats, and you can get McDonald's and Taco Bell. You could, you know, have anything, you know, in your hands in a second. Pizza sales skyrocketed, you know, hundreds of percent. People are watching at home, realizing this is must-see TV. And it transformed America and American television and how we view right, wrong versus celebrity and entertainment.
You know, actually, Ben, and you know this as well as I, Marsha Clark was so outgunned. You know, you had the Kardashian guy. You had, of course, Johnny Cochran and Alan Dershowitz and the Kardashian guy. She was so outgunned. Every step of the way, they just blew her away. And as a guy who watched that trial, you know, it's like, this guy is, everybody thought he was, again, here's what I've learned, though, Ben, from that. I don't know what your view is on it. It really shows me, and it showed me even back then, that the media gets a lot wrong. Yeah, and that's why I'm not a big, big believer in watching the media, whether it's with Trump or whether it's with Pelosi and the California issues. I was going to get into that one time with you on your show. We'll have, if you want to announce anything, you can. Or anything we're doing, because the media, you can't believe the media, Ben.
No, especially now when it became so monetized. I'm going to be launching the Ben Kissel channel in June, so that'll be real fun. Check that out. It'll be on iTunes and things of that nature.
But I hope I can do it with you.
I can't wait to have you. But once the media became monetized and once everything became, you know, for profit, I mean, I've been a victim of you know, clickbait hit pieces. I mean, nothing real doesn't matter. Truth doesn't matter. It's about advertising dollars. I mean, that's why we can't get anything. No one's talking about what's going on right now with Boeing. You know, we just had a dude to get off a little bit off subject, but there was a whistleblower for Boeing because their planes are falling out of the freaking sky, which is pretty vital for a plane to be up there. And he ended up committing suicide a day before he was supposed to testify. Why isn't anyone covering this? It's because all the television news, all of the, even the written news you'll see online, Boeing pays them a lot of freaking money to cover stories that they want to cover. So we'll learn more about the aforementioned Kardashians and not about what the hell is going on when it comes to life and death aviation issues. Also, when it comes to celebrity and fame, you mentioned Mr. Kardashian, the lawyer. You know, O.J. Simpson, I was just reading an article how he was talking about how he boned Kris Jenner in a hot tub. So now all of these stories are going to start coming out, and it's going to be interesting here for the, you know, 48-hour news cycle he's going to, you know, get. But all of these stories about O.J. Simpson, we talk about the key moments, but now we're going to see a trickle of, you know, what was his life really like? And interestingly enough, you mentioned the Vegas robber, right? The Vegas robbery. That dude that he held a gun to this dude's face, right? That dude and he ended up becoming friends.
He actually didn't, Ben. He did not, Ben. Just to let you know. He did not.
Well, I wanted
to... just to let you know that, you know.
He
got you covered.
He had a group of friends with him, and there was a gun pointed at this dude's face. His name was Bruce Fremong, and he ended up saying that he's super sad OJ is dead. He says he's going to be sorely missed by many, and he says... oh my God, I'm trying to find the quote here. He talks about how OJ and he were like close and they were good buddies. And OJ was one of the nicest guys he's ever met. So there's something, you know, people forget OJ Simpson was the face of Hertz Rental Car, of any product you could imagine. You know, he was the Shaquille O'Neal before Shaquille O'Neal was, you know, in
diapers. I'd say bigger than that.
Yeah, perhaps. So he was so freaking big. And that just kind of shows you, again, all things aside, he must have been pretty charming if you're going to tell me that I'm the robbery victim and I'm now friends with the person that perpetrated it. Again, as you mentioned, I think that that was a little bit trumped up and it was more of vengeance against the not guilty verdict.
I think they tacked it on, you know, and here's what happened with that case too also. But he didn't pull a gun, Ben. Just let's get that straight.
Okay.
That's, you know, it was somebody else there. People were there. So he went to get his material back. This is a guy with no record, technically. Upstanding citizen, all the whole want to talk about it. And he gets screwed. But I have to stay on the crime session. Because we're going to get one more OJ thing. And I have to ask a question. Because, again, the media. And I'm on a limb on this one. I'm being honest. I've been getting a lot of backlash. From friends more than anything, because I haven't did. I'm gonna be posting the Diddy case. So it's not even a case yet. Let's get that straight. There's no case. Nobody's been indicted. Nobody's been arrested.
It has made 50 Cent's Instagram very enjoyable and funny, though.
Oh, I love it.
There are some people who are certainly ready to pour some mud on that grave before it's even, you know, again, before they've even officially filed anything.
Well, Ben, you're a person who, let's face it, got bullshitted with innuendos, non-provable, you can do a lot of that. None of this has been proven. Do I think, personally, he's a freak? He's got a lot of money, all these billionaires. Who knows what they all do? But to give, to really, to dragging his name through the mud, they went in there like it was I don't know, we're invading Kuwait or something, the way they attacked these two houses. I'm not buying it, Ben. I cannot listen. When a woman comes out, in my view, I might get slammed for this. When a woman comes out years later and makes the accusation, who knows what really happened at that point?
Well, I'm going to let the Diddy thing is going to work itself out. The one thing that I think is interesting, perhaps there's cameras, maybe there's a little bit of blackmail. Either way, that whole Diddy thing, that's a whole nother can of worms. And I think it's too soon to even talk about it because no matter what, you're going to be the weatherman saying it's going to be sunny on Friday and people are going to be real pissed when it starts raining, you know? So I don't even want to speculate. I have no idea. I will say the militarization of the police with the 1022, oh my goodness, is it third? Oh my, I haven't mentioned that in a minute. The militarization of the police, that has gone so far beyond the pale, you know, and everything that's used overseas at some point comes home to roost. So yeah, when it comes to the way that things are handled in this country, they'll do a low-level drug bust or whatever, and you would think they were grabbing, El Chapo. This is a problem in America. And that is something that I think can be talked about for sure.
Well, I look at that
1033 program. That's what it is. The 1033 program. That was when the military, all their old shit, the police departments were able to get it at a premium. So that's why you got a small town in my home state of Wisconsin that has a freaking tank. And I think the biggest crime was that someone, you know, farted way too loud after eating some cheese fondue. I mean, it's insane.
Well, you know, Ben, on that note, and because I talk about that subject as well, first of all, they were given the equipment, but people said, oh, we're getting it free. Whoa, what about training your crew? What about man hours? What about maintenance? And that's the citizens. And my view on policing is, yes, we need it a bigger organization, whether it's the sheriff's department, that are a lot bigger than these local town polices, whatever a local police department has for weapons, so to speak, I think a civilian should have, if you're going to go with the Second Amendment. Because we had a police department right here in Florida. It's called Christmas, Florida, little town. A lieutenant and I think assistant chief were KKK members. They were arrested by the FBI. Jeez. Now, the little police department, Ben. So what makes them so, you know, that they can have all of this? And, you know, there's many cases. I've just been looking up some cases. I don't know if you heard about the five cops that were went to jail for 20 years or more. They were murdering guys, grabbing them up, I think in Alabama or Louisiana.
I did hear about that. And again, that all, you know, just to bring it back to OJ, that was really what the national conversation became. It was like, what the hell are these cops doing? What are they being allowed to do? What are they being incentivized to do? You look at Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, no one talks about Michael Brown anymore.
We're going to talk. Nick's going to. He's from there.
Yeah. But you with Ferguson, you know, the cops, a large percentage of the city's revenue was brought by tickets. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the freaking cops were supposed to be. They're not supposed to be tax men with guns. You know, they're supposed to be out there protecting and serving and doing all those great, Andy Griffith type things. But obviously, things have gotten so corrupted. And so you have situations like that, Ferguson, you know, and so on and so forth. So that really became the larger conversation with the O.J. Simpson trial, and then obviously the aftermath of him being found not guilty. And then, of course, he was found guilty in the civil case with Ron Goldman. He still owes, I think, $100 million or something like that. Like, he owes like a bunch of cash, and I think they're going to try.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I think they're going to try to get through his houses or pair of flip-flops or maybe a nice pair of Crocs he had. I don't know what they're going to get. But that was what was so interesting about the OJ case. And that's why it's like, yeah, this 76-year-old dude died. But if you just look at the story arc and what it did to America, this dude is he is not just a cliff note. He's not a side note. He's a chapter in this damn place.
Well, I said that, you know, it was funny because I have a group of friends, Ben. I mean, we have like 20 of us, very close, elderly guys, a lot of tired, not retired. And we go out a lot
of sagging balls, a lot of balls.
Oh, a lot of sagging balls, that's for sure, at our age. You're getting there.
I want to be one of those guys who has the balls hit the water in the toilet. I didn't know that was possible.
Oh, Larry, that's what you always bitch about. That's hilarious. That's the only complaint during hotels that we go to.
I'll officially feel like an old man as soon as my balls are wet.
You know, but what I was getting at, and I mean that, is...
Larry said, let's move on.
I want to ask you a question too, Nick, but... Ben, we talked about O.J. Simpson last night, not knowing he passed away. I only found out this morning. Not knowing at all, we were talking about, because I was with a judge, actually. We were all talking how he got screwed over, whether you like him or not, whether you believe or not, that about of the robbery case because of the acquittal of the murder. And what you said was right. And I said, listen, we have police now. It's such an us against them mentality. Mm. What happened to protect and serve? It doesn't say fuck me up or be against your citizen. You know, it doesn't say that. It's a shame what's going on.
It is.
I don't think they should be like that. And cops even don't get paid enough. I say it all the time.
Absolutely. From that perspective, and I think every single civil servant needs to be treated better. I think they need better health care. I think the system, the thing that trickles down is the suffering. You know, so if you're getting shat on, you hate your job, and you're a cop, that is going to trickle down into, you know, anger, rage, bad police behavior. And not to mention, you know, because they are so stressed, because there are not as many perhaps as there should be, so they're working too many hours, they're working too many shifts, and the people that suffer are the citizens. So all of that stuff needs to be taken into account. And sadly, again, it's 2024, and this was 1994, so we're 30 years now away from the O.J. Simpson fiasco with the New York Knicks, of course, and still,
of course, not the murder.
Still having this conversation.
That was way worse than the murder.
Well, you know, where you say, of course, we're on the same page, obviously, because I think it might even started before that, Ben, with the Rodney King. I think it was 92. Right. Might have been a big thing. But as a question for you, Ben, Nick, I want your advice. Or do you remember, you lived in St. Louis, Nick, so you remember Ferguson, you remember.
Yeah.
Ben made a great point. You really did, Ben. You made a point about people forgot. I didn't, that they would get, they were really charging these poor people ticket money. And yeah, really, it got to that point. And I used to say to myself, and I still say to this day, if you're going to riot, don't riot in your own town. You're only going to burn the store that gives your kid milk. You know, it gives you credit. Don't do that. Go to Beverly Hills and riot. Like, they buried Watts and burnt it down. Why don't you just go to Beverly Hills? Just see some change happen real quick.
And, you know, that's an interesting sentiment as well. And, you know, a lot of that stuff, I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but there was something that happened in Minnesota during the Minnesota riots that occurred during COVID. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of things bubbling up. And obviously the lockdowns, people really, that bubbling up overflowed into the streets. But there was a situation that happened. I think it was an O'Reilly's auto parts where this guy went in, he broke all the windows out and he left real abruptly. He was covered up. A lot of people were calling him a cop and things like that. There's a lot of behind the scenes things that go into, people spontaneously organized.
Yeah. Like brick placement or pallets of, you know, like, I don't know, pipes being placed next to businesses during riot times or construction equipment.
And that being said, that doesn't give you the right to pick it up and throw the damn thing.
No, yeah,
but
I get
it
what you're
also
saying.
It also makes it a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, it's very confusing how, like, tension starts to happen, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you start to see, like, oh, all this new these building bricks are being put around everywhere, and yeah,
you know,
that's what's happening with St. Louis. You were just finding like random destruction equipment everywhere.
You know, and sorry to interrupt, Blair, but no, again, when it comes to St. Louis and when it comes to, we'll go back to Minnesota as well, the media loved it. Media field day. They're out there. I mean, if there wasn't an explosion every 20 seconds, they would make one happen.
100%, man. Yes. It was so quiet. And then on the news, it wasn't quiet. But I was right there being like, this is not what's really going on. Like, my
Nick,
house
did you go there?
Huh?
Were you there, Nick?
Yeah, I went. I had a broken spine, so I stayed in the car, but it wasn't like insane like everyone was saying it was.
Oh, it wasn't as bad as what they showed.
I mean, yeah, but then you just had them replaying the same shit, being like, oh, look what's still happening. And it was like, no, that happened like 3 days ago, guys.
Right. Well, I think what happens at law enforcement, guys, is they become defensive, you know, because they don't get recognized for maybe saving lives or doing what they do.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they do something. And listen, I often tell people, if you have a company, you have 100 people, you got fuck-ups. So you have a police department with 1,000 cops. There's screw-ups. There's losers. There's really bad people in that 1,000. Obviously, I'm a believer that the leadership of those places have to weed them out. And I often tell police chiefs when I speak around the country on that, is listen, police yourself first. You know who's the bad guys. You know there's guys out there who are beating people or doing something. You know the bad guy. If you own a company, you know who the screw up is, you know?
They need to get hall monitors to, you know, patrol the policing system. Just get hall monitors.
I mean, let's be honest. Everyone has a desire to fit in, no matter how tough of a person you are. Maybe, Larry, maybe you've met a person or two who you're like, no, they don't give a fuck. Maybe. I'm sure you
have. Yes, I have.
But for the most part, people want to go along to get along, you know? And the culture, there was a story many years ago now where police got in trouble at one of their conventions. First of all, they're just glorified gun shows. I mean, Beverly Hills Cop 3, where Axel Foley goes to meet with Belky Batonimus, went anywhere. They're looking at those weapons. All that shit is basically real. Obviously, not the weapons. So you don't need a microwave.
Right. No. Right.
But there was another problem. They were selling merch that said, you raise them, we cage them. You know, this idea of stealing human autonomy, stealing citizens' autonomy. You know, 1 in 125 Americans is incarcerated, which is a huge freaking number. Huge number. So, again, when it comes to OJ And when it comes to how the Black community was feeling, obviously I can't speak for them, but from my perspective of how I would be feeling, this was one case, given many cases where maybe someone was innocent and convicted because of whatever reason, bias, racism, whatever it might be. This is one case where they felt as if it was a good thing. It was a good thing that O.J. Simpson got off. It's a complex situation.
Ben, were you living in L.A. at the time?
No, I was in Wisconsin.
Wow. Okay, so you were in a little town. Like,
yeah, I was. That's how big this was. I grew up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. It's a town of 25,000 people. And that's how big this. I always figured if I know who you are in Wisconsin, you're famous. You got to be so big. There's not an airport. You got to drive. You got to fly into Milwaukee and drive 3 hours to get to my hometown. Although in Mosinee, they do have a small airport. But that's how big this was. And it also created, going back to the OJ thing and talking about the cast of characters, it also created a whole bunch of sidekicks. Cato Kalin, all of a sudden he parlayed this entire thing, which he is a witness potentially, providing
a lover of Nicole Simpson. Supposedly.
I have no idea about all that.
Supposedly.
I mean, it's not, bro, I've been in L.A. for a little while now. I think everyone's got everyone else's stink on them. I don't know what's going on, but something wild, okay? But then you had someone like Cato, who all of a sudden, he's on reality shows. He's doing this whole, he's a celebrity, right? And that's what he obviously wanted to be all along. He was an actor who found, in a way, that there was a, what I'm saying is there's a lot of people, strangely enough, that benefited from this horrible, horrible crime.
Well, Ben, let me tell you what happens there. And that, if you ever look at that, and I think that's a problem they have to deal with, when whatever famous case you have, whether it's Casey Anthony in Farr, if you remember that case.
Of course.
The prosecutor in that case went on to be the state attorney. The defense attorney, Jose Baez, become this big celebrity down in South Florida. The judge in that case, he was pretty quiet, actually. But they become famous people. Even what's his name? The family of the Casey Anthony. They're still out there. You know, I saw Casey. I was an analyst on TV for that. Yeah. And, you know, when I saw that case, again, everybody, Nick gets mad at me. He goes, you always play lawyer, Larry. I said, look, Nick, you have to. The minute you start letting your let him be guilty. No.
He's innocent. Now I know my question, Larry. You slipped up. Do you think she's innocent?
She's innocent as far as the courts are concerned.
Well, that's not what you said a couple, 30 minutes ago. You said innocent and found guilty are different things. Do you think she?
Of course they are. Of course they are.
You said
but the only person who knows that, Nick, is the person who did it. So that's an issue within a person.
Well, that is another, the Casey Anthony situation is another example of faulty police work. So they did this thing where they, I forget which one it was. I believe that they searched her Firefox account, not her Safari, something like that. Anyway, they looked at the wrong search engine. And if they looked at the right one, it literally basically was like, how do I kill my baby? After you kill your baby, what do you do? What's the nice, what are some nice clothes to put in your, to put on your dead baby? Like they missed it all. So that was another case where the jurors are more just, if the cops fail miserably, and it's an obvious case where you're like 95% of the chance, I think she did it. I don't think that was pizza rotten in the back of her car. I think that was Kaylee, right? But if the cops fuck up that much, it leaves the jury no choice.
Well, Ben, it goes back to if they're fucking up little things, how do you trust them on the big things?
Exactly.
That's where I go with the
Florida, I mean, and Florida was so damn corrupt. You know, I think he
really is
becoming the secretary. Yeah, as opposed to now. I'm a Florida resident. I got my license, okay? Miami.
You're welcome. Miami. You're welcome here anytime.
A little serious show out there, perhaps, in the future. But when it comes to Florida, what was I talking about? Florida corruption. I've just lost my thought. Now I'm just thinking
Casey
about
Casey Anthony for the corruption.
Yeah, yeah. I lost it. It's gone.
That you'll catch it and you'll bring it
I'll
back.
Get it.
You know, when I talk about the media and I talk about what goes on in the media, because I'm in, you know, a lot of times I'm on TV for these jewelry robberies or this Kardashian getting robbed and the inside jobs. And all I always preface it with, it's funny because Nick is with me now enough that I do enough TV. They literally, Nick will tell you this. They ask me to say something and that's not true, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
And I say to them, I'm not going to do that.
Nope.
Oh, but can you do it? No, I can't. You're looking to make me build a narrative that's not truth.
Absolutely.
And, right, Nick?
And you know, Nick, go on, sorry.
No, Nick? Oh, okay. That's okay.
I said, yeah.
Oh, yep. Good to hear you. Yeah.
And to that point, you know, again, when it comes to, you know, all the documentaries that are being made, there's a lot of money. And oftentimes when money is involved, obviously, again, the truth might take a back seat. And I'm not referring to anything specific. It's just that's the way this works. Look at Making a Murderer. If you look at Making a Murderer, that documentary series out of Wisconsin, there was so much evidence that the documentarians left out that made it look like Steve was guilty. Anyway, they didn't want to have that in there because they wanted the narrative that he and Brendan Dassey or whatever were innocent. So, you know, I'll never forget. I was working at Fox Business. I was doing Fox News, and I was on Fox Business. I was on a show there. And for the most part, I really enjoyed the show and the people on it. But there was one person in the green room that came in. He was a high-ranking military dude, right? And we were talking about torture. We were talking about waterboarding. And he was like, waterboarding is torture. It's the worst thing that you could ever go through. I've had to go through it for training. It fucking sucks. It is 100% torture. And then he gets on TV, and I'm not joking. He says, oh, waterboarding, it's nothing. It's like drinking water wrong. It's like if you ever drink water and it goes through your nose, it's like that. So he just blatantly lied on television. I'm watching in the green room. And this is a guy with credentials right here. You know, I mean, this is a military man. And it really... I mean, and I saw a lot of that lie by omission, I saw a lot of stuff like that. And that just permeates throughout all media, not just television, but also print as well, because people have an idea, they have a narrative. And then once they have that idea and narrative, they go find the facts, but only the ones that fit that. And if it doesn't, they just don't include it. Lie by omission, I think, is the biggest form of lying that we're experiencing today.
And, you know, Ben, you made a great point, because as a guy who studied the law and did many, many law cases and see what you say, either not accepting evidence that's blatant or a cop and they dismiss it and they forget to deposition him or whatever, you know, it's so blatant a lot of the things they do because they want the person to be either guilty or their number to be higher. I mean, obviously, I often say, what kind of conscience you have? We have cases down, and you know Florida is the poster child for the country for wacko shit going on. And right. Whether it was bath salts, whether it was, you know, whatever. And I look at that and I say, wait a minute. Why is it? Why do we have the media so whacked out? You know, I think what's helped maybe it was going on back then, Ben. I don't know. Maybe you would know even a little more. But the reason I say that is I think the internet has truly opened the eyes of so many people. Because like Nick and I know, I don't lie. Nick goes, yeah. I said, I'll never lie to you. Because the internet people will know it right away. I don't care who they are, they'll know it, and that's the end of it. Yeah, internet detectives. And you know what? When you still see it though, Ben, in 2024, you say to yourself, what is like again, is it a conspiracy with all the stuff that happened in Minnesota do I think George Floyd was killed by Derek Chauvin? Yes. I mean, that's pretty much basically, you look at it and you see it. What happened? What happened to the other guys? I mean,
And that's the craziest part about all of it. You know, you can watch these events with your own two eyes. They can transpire in front of your face. And then they cut to the panel. And the panel, they'll say it's spin. It's lies. And they'll say, oh, Joe Biden, he just nailed that State of the Union. He was so articulate. And meanwhile, yeah. I'm watching him, and I know he's standing on a bucket of ice. Otherwise, he's going to fall over once he gets too, you know, hot and warm.
So, he was on some speed for sure.
it also kind of the same factor of the Diddy thing. No matter what happens, he could totally be innocent, and he's still guilty. It doesn't matter. Like, he will forever now be guilty of these crimes that everyone's saying right now. He will be.
You know, with Diddy, I think it's such a big case. And again, yeah, once we're now, obviously, they're calling it sort of the Epstein 2.0. That, I think, is, it's so vast and huge.
But that's just what the internet drags thing. It even goes with the, like, oh, is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, like, you know, swingers? It doesn't matter. What the internet thinks is the truth, even though it's not the truth. It's kind of what I'm getting at.
That's why it's also important to remember that, you know, the people on the internet, they comment today and they forget.
Yeah.
They comment and they forget 10 minutes later what they even
comment. Oh, for sure.
And yeah, so it is just up to us, you know, again, to, what are your tangible experiences? What did you see with your own two eyes versus what you see online? Because I know a dude, I just met him recently. He rents out airplanes and they're like cut in half airplanes. And they just, all these influencers, they go to a hangar. They take, I think he charges like $500 an hour. They take pictures of them on their phone or drinking champagne on an airplane. Yeah. And then they pretend like they own a private jet. It's all bullshit.
Kylie Jenner started that.
Well, of course, in Kylie Jenner, I mean, let's not forget when she tried to, speaking of the riots in Minnesota, she tried to solve it all by handing an officer a can of Pepsi.
No, so, yeah, that was
literally Kendall. Pepsi.
That was Kendall,
whichever.
Oh,
literally,
my God.
Pepsi saw a riot and they were like, we got a lot of eyeballs on this. Let's get people sucking down our sugary, diabetic filled trash.
Person in the marketing.
Sorry, guys.
Might not work, guys. Not one person.
Hey, Ben, let me let the audience know first. First of all, Ben is very knowledgeable. He's been on the radio. He had multiple podcasts. The last podcast on the left, the Lincoln. What was it? The Lincoln.
That was Abe Lincoln's Top Hat.
Yeah, you had some great stuff. And you're very well respected in the media range because you do a lot of studying. You're very level headed, Ben. You give a calculated answer. You give, and you know, you don't just talk off that. You know, you get a lot of people talk off the top of their head. I know law. I'll talk law or crime. I'm not going to talk the weather. I'm not going to talk certain things I don't know, unless I'm joking. But here's what I'm going to get on you, Ben, because I know you're all over the news, and I can't let you pass on this one. So you got to answer.
Uh-oh.
What do you think is going on with Trump?
Again with the Trump, I mean, I think he's stressed out as hell.
He's supposed to go to trial here.
I know he's going to go to trial, and it's man. I mentioned this on the last time. You know, the people are suffering. Americans deserve better. Everybody knows that. I was just reading Biden poll numbers are going up. We're about to be in World War III. I don't know what to believe when it comes to the polling data again because. Trump still has his base that is almost getting, speaking of jewels, tighter and tighter and tighter, the more pressure that he's being put under. And, you know, they're getting more united in a sense, the more pressure he's under. And I just wish that the courts would step out of this. And I wish that the American people just felt like they were in a process that was not being at all
manipulated,
influenced by people who, let's be honest, have their own political end games. You know, Jack Smith has his own political. No one here is an innocent teetotaler just trying to do the right thing. It doesn't happen like that anymore. And so once you have prosecutors attempting to make careers based on, you know, getting prosecutions, getting guilty verdicts, I know I'm sure in your experience, I'm sure the prosecutor that prosecuted you, he probably peacocked that around like he was, you know, the second coming of Christ, right? So as soon as that has happened, and that's what has happened, it just muddies all the water. And people, speaking of people who might believe some whack ass shit, some crazy stuff, my friends, the good liars, they go to the Trump rallies and people say things, you know, that's absolutely insane, talking about JFK Jr., talking about just real wacko stuff. So the whole thing is just completely off the rocker because the courts have put their thumb on the scale.
You know, but, you know, I also see, listen, I'm one for, I always said this and I'll say it again, I don't think he'll ever see the inside of a prison cell. He's the president or former president. I don't know how you'd even maneuver Secret Service. or any of this, if there would be. But I also know, and I'll say it like it is because I don't give a shit, Joe Biden shouldn't be our president either, although we know he's a figurehead. You're right. Listen, it's sad to say. Listen, I don't hate any of these guys. They're my president. You know, I want them to do good.
I would love if they did.
You know, Ben, I just look at that and say, you know, I was listening to Joe Rogan the other day, and Joe Rogan had a good – he still don't believe that Joe Biden's going to run. He's thinking about May. He steps down for health. In comes Gavin Newsom. Kamala says she don't want it. She's a quiet – she's a distinctive vice president.
That's fantasy. Do you have any idea how difficult it would be to have a brokered convention? He already got the votes. You can't just the founding fathers, a lot of people think they were old. Thomas Jefferson was like 33. Most of these guys were like 18 to 25.
I was just going to say, very young. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very freaking young. And you look at the people you saw for the State of the Union. I mean, you got people like Dianne Feinstein, RIP, hanging out with OJ right now in hell. living in Washington with active dementia, you know, so it's the selfishness of people not wanting to do what's better for the whole, to make themselves wealthier, just continue to bilk the American people for all that it's worth. And that is such an atrocity. You know, that's what's such an atrocity, that there's no accountability for these people to look in the fucking mirror and say, it might be time for me to go be a grandpa and a grandma and get out of the Senate or the House.
You know, Ben, what you say is so true, because I remember Strom Thurmond and all these guys. And not only the Congress wasn't made for a career job. It was to help the country and they go back to their plantations or whatever they did. And again, you know, obviously it wasn't meant to have, you know, unfettered access. I mean, you got guys in there for 30, 40 years.
Oh, if not many more. And, you know, again, when it comes to the courts, I'll be remiss if I don't talk about Arizona. I'm a pro-choice person. Arizona, going back to this law from the 1800s, it is asinine that the courts have now felt like they have carte blanche to go and be activists in this way. And I think all of that is because when you have Congress at a 10% approval rating over the past 30 fucking years, all of a sudden another branch of government is going to say, well, I guess we can take the power because these old farts aren't going to be the ones who are going to do it. So now judges and these courts of these states, and obviously the Supreme Court of the federal government, they've just completely overstepped all of their power, all of their, there's nothing chaining them to any kind of responsible legislation or judicial activity. And they're not supposed to legislate. You're not supposed to legislate from the bench.
But for pushback on that, Ben, obviously when they formed the country into three branches of the government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of government, and they split it all up, and it's supposed to balance each other. What I think has happened, and we both know this, I almost say communism is better because they get things done. We got a Congress that can't do shit. You got far left, far right, far whatever it is. It drives you nuts. And then I look at it and say, the Trump thing, right, wrong, or indifference. If they can prove without a doubt, and I don't mean just them, how do you trust? You can get into that part of it, Ben. But at what point does the regular citizen, like Larry, I went to prison. I know people in prison.
Yes, the number one jewel thief in America, the regular citizen. I remember when I did all of my robberies back in the 90s, just like the regular American.
It's normal to just tie people up. It's a normal everyday thing to get tied up when you go jewelry shop.
Uh-oh. Hey, Nick, tell Ben what's coming out tomorrow.
Ben can figure that one out. It's going to be a wild ride, Ben. The Jubilee show's coming out.
I love it.
Watched Larry for an hour straight get lectured by other convicts that the way he thinks is totally unreal.
No, I called him a bitch. I might be canceled tomorrow, Ben. So
all right,
we gotta get this in.
I'll look out for it. But you know, to your going back though, when it comes to America, right now we are in the worst of both worlds. We are we are fiscally liberal and we are socially conservative.
And it should be the opposite way.
Exactly. And so it should be, it is so backwards right now. It is the worst possible situation where the internet has made everybody walk on eggshells. And then we're spending, I mean, I was just listening to one of these guys who knows about the numbers, the economy. Anyway, he was saying by 2027, just the interest alone on the debt, we won't even be able to pay that anymore. So, and again, now we're in the trillions. And I don't even know there's so many zeros.
Ben, I can't even keep track. Ben, I got to stop you right here. Let me ask you a question, Ben.
You call me a bitch, Larry?
Never. You're too big, Ben.
Hey, a baby Ben.
Hey, Ben, I got to shoot you just to let you know. With a big gun. No, Ben, you're a very intelligent guy. And I think you told me you're 40. I think you're 39.
I'm 42.
Oh, 42.
I'm 8 years old and the ball's dipping. When did your balls start to dip in the toilet?
I have big balls, Ben, so it was young. Ben, seriously, on that note, let me ask you a question. And I asked this to many, many, even an economist. I had a presidential candidate on this for the Libertarian Party on my show. Let me ask you a question, Ben. They talk about the debt, which I don't think it means shit. And I'll tell you why.
It's above my pay grade.
Watch this, though. Since I'm 62, I can't remember whether debt or not. And obviously, the only one to balance the budget. We had debt, but he balanced the budget. It was Clinton. But let me ask you a question, Ben. Has everybody's life and quality of life improved? Yours? Yes. Mine? Yes. You're getting debt. You think China's going to come here and say, give us our money?
I think it's about perspective as well, though, right? Because again, going back to that influencer thing where everyone is pretending like they're somebody that they're not. And then everyone looks at them and they got the nice filters and oh, they must be so rich. Meanwhile, they're all in debt, right? So I feel like the grass is greener scenario is so prevalent now. And people say, oh man, if I just had XYZ, if I just had, you know, that face or, you know, that clout or whatever it is, I'd be better. So psychologically, I actually think America is doing just about as bad as it's ever done. Factually,
I didn't say that.
Probably not. Yeah. But again, that's quality of life. If you're psychologically fucking broken, your quality of life is going to be down. So yeah, it's easier than ever. We're going to be good. You can get some food. You know, you can get a roller dog. I mean, you're not going to get some great food. You're probably going to, you know, America's food standard is so unbelievably horrible. Oh. And that's on purpose as well. Keep you sick, get you on medication, have you die. Or, you know, keep the process going.
I agree.
So I think
psychological. And the dumbing down of America. Dumbing down of America.
I mean, again, OJ, I believe if OJ Simpson was healthy 10 years ago, which he was, I suppose, he probably could have won a House representative seat. He probably could have. I mean, I guess he's a convicted felon. So maybe not. I don't know.
But, you know, for federal, you could be a convicted felon. You know,
All you need is that name recognition. And now people have this irony has jumped the shark. You know, Fonzie is fucking jumping over every other damn animal. He's jumping over walruses at this point. Okay.
Lost Nick.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just going along.
It's happy days. Way before my time, but I wanted to relate to Larry. So we have gone so far. You know, we're just gone. We're everything now. Again, just going back to what people think of themselves based upon what they see other people supposedly living like has really just, you know, ruined the psyche of this country. And there's a lot of people that will just vote for the worst possible conclusion because they think it's ironic and they have no, I'm blanking on the term, but there's just, you know, desperation in a lot of ways. And a lot of people are just saying, like you said, fuck it. Communism, maybe communism is better. I mean, not that it is, but that's the way people are thinking nowadays. Anything is better than this, whether that be right or wrong.
I don't know if that's the case. You know, I live with a 91-year-old woman, and my mom never had TV, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're talking about way back. And I told her, she goes, oh, the old days were better. I said, Mom, give me a TV. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, my point is things happen. Technology happens. I remember no cable, no cable TV, no phones. No. I remember all of that, you know. And I look at it and say, I love technology. I love the way we live. Listen, every single country on the planet can do better. We're not a small country. We have a lot of diversity. We have a lot of a big country as far as logistically wise, oceans, Atlantic and Pacific and north, south, mountains and deserts. I'm looking at our stuff. When people come with the debt and they owe it, not one of them are going to do anything about it. Listen, what does it mean?
The money doesn't mean, the money means nothing. He's saying it, the debt is still kind of like, I would say it's like representing where we are. And I agree with him where like these people are getting very depressed because Kylie Jenner has 170,000 likes on Instagram and society as a whole is only like dopamine that you can get is by likes and clicks. And that is really actually messing people up. The money means nothing, but it is kind of representing like, we are really sad right now as a whole, as a country.
Because, you know, speaking of communism, you know, talk about China. They have the social credit system, and people like to pretend like we don't have one here. But that's exactly what social credit gave us, right? So it was like, I forget what artist I was watching. Was it Steve Earle, something like that? But he was talking about the first thing that they ask new artists now is what's your clout? You know, how many followers do you have?
Yeah.
Not, can you, let's hear a song. Let's hear a joke. Are you talented at all? The first thing is that social credit. That's what they're looking for. And again, because that's direct to consumer marketing, and that's exactly what the advertisers want. So psychologically, yeah, this country is completely and utterly broken.
Do you agree that fixing it is hiding the likes? I don't think hiding likes is going to fix this issue.
Hiding likes is not going to fix it. It might destroy the entire social media. But that really is, I think, where people are right now. And you know, hopefully, there's a new generation coming out that I think has now fully been influenced and inundated with you know, the cameras and the screens in their faces ever since they were in pre-K. And I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a Luddite movement where they realize this shit, we've done it. We've had so many great years and centuries without it. And I think we can probably scale back a little bit when it comes to the use of technology to make, it's a tool. And right now, I don't think that we're actively using it well, especially now that you look at AI and there's going to be music. AI is going to be the next big stand-up. Is going to be Elvin idiot fuck. And, you know, he's going to have the hottest new joke on the block and it's not going to be a real person. And that's the other thing when it comes to this shit with Trump and Biden. You know, people aren't going to believe anymore what they see with their eyes on the screen, and they can't, because now you can animate a corpse. You know, you can do anything and you can have the crowd there. Nothing has to be there. So the amount of people are just very unsure and they're unstable because we're in completely new times. Yeah. And it almost seems like every week there's something new. And, you know, and again, that's kind of why when it comes
but
to
there's no, crime there's or no negative possible news, way to like scale back at this point. I believe there's no possible way there. We scale back
like the Telecommunications Act, right? So that was in place for a long time. In 96, they got rid of it, 95, 96. And that's when MSNBC and Fox News came. Basically, what that said was that if you have a candidate on your show, you got to give another candidate equal time. After that was gone, everything was the wild, wild west, and it all became partisan bullshit. So you can put things in place. AI should have never been released in the capacity that it was. That should have been so, but because we have old fucking dirtbags in the in government, they don't know. They don't even, they're not aware that this is even going to happen, you know. So they're behind, they're behind, you know, they can't step up with proper legislation. Not that I particularly love most legislation.
We have too much laws as it is. But Ben, what Nick made a great point, and obviously you can't stop technology. You never will, and once it's out, it's not going back in a bag. You are 100% correct.
Terminator. I'll stop him. I'll do it. I'm Terminator. I'll be John Connor. John Connor, dude. I'll do it.
You know, Ben, what happened in Congress? They asked, just like with a TikTok, they're asking the CEO of TikTok, do you need the internet? You know, what? Of course you do. They're that stupid. And all the companies are doing that, Ben.
And again, when it comes to, I'm a First Amendment activist. Even what happened with me, I'm a very First Amendment person, freedom of press, freedom of speech. The fact that they talked about TikTok and banning it, when again, we are in the midst of fucking World War III, we are about to have some insane, turbulent times internationally and, of course, domestically. And the fact that they're talking about TikTok, which, yeah, am I a TikTok person? No. Is it annoying when people make up shit about you and put it on TikTok? Yeah. But that's not the main issue. The main issue is so much bigger than that.
Yeah, they said, does TikTok have access to my Wi-Fi? And he was like, yes, it has to have access to the internet to be used. And they were like, so let me ask the question again. And he was like, dude, I don't know how else to answer it.
Like, but, you know, they sound like someone in the 1950s complaining about telephones. You know, it just is what it is. That's not going to go anywhere. But again, it's how we as people decide to harness it and use that tool. So hopefully the longer we have it, the better we can get.
I know we're getting near the end, Ben, but I want to say I'm the pushback on this with you. I think there's going to be better times, and I'm a very bullish, and I am bullish on America and the world. I think the kids are smarter. I think technology and the internet has more information. Listen, I know Nick works for me, and Nick literally, Ben, knows about stuff, and he passed classes because he did something on the internet where these schools don't want to teach it or whatever. Listen, Ben, when I was young, I learned about geography. I love geography. I learned about it with Risk. Do you remember Risk, the game?
Of course.
I played it all day long, so I knew where Madagascar was and the south of all the continents. And you're bad. So my point is, I think there's tough times, but we do need. What really concerns me, I mean this, is the age of the people we have trying to run things and the lack of young people like Nick that want to get involved. Nick made a great point. He goes, I'm not going to vote. I go, why? He goes, you told me you used to corrupt mayors. I did. Why am I going to vote? You know, so.
Well, you got to get in the game. You got to get some skin in the game, Nick. And then you'll vote for the person that's going to help
you.
I got to start corrupting him.
But do that.
I got to be the corrupter.
Yeah. To continue that analogy, though, when it comes to Risk, that's great. You got to learn the map that way. I think a lot of people are also learning how to be doctors by playing Operation. And that's not going to necessarily get the job done. So it's up to us. We have the world at our fingertips. That's very true. And it is up to us to utilize these tools in the best possible way. And it's just, you know.
I have one more question.
I don't know.
And one more thing, Ben, for you. I think do you remember Newsroom?
The TV show?
Yes, with Aaron Sorkin, you know, with
Jeff Daniels. Did Aaron Sorkin ever hear anybody speak? Because he writes like a robot. That was my only thing with Aaron Sorkin is he writes like everyone's funny. And, you know, I worked at Fox News. No one's fucking funny. You know, the only thing that was funny was when I had to take a dump next to Sean Hannity and I really understood he doesn't just spew shit out of his mouth. But anyway, go on.
Listen, that opening scene to me, I just played it the other day. The opening scene when he's speaking in front of a college and the kid gets up, is America the greatest country in the world? And he gave a great answer about why it's not what we should fix. And even saying at the end, you know, the number one thing is to recognize you have a problem before you can fix it, you know, and stuff with recognition. And obviously, I'm not one of these, you know, oh, we're always right. I was in the military. I seen the shit that goes on. I'm in the criminal justice system, which is probably one of the worst in the free world. I'm talking not third world country. I'm talking about Spain, France, Italy, Germany, Canada, all that kind of stuff. But when I'm seeing the advances of cars and technology and people are now, what government? We got government out of people going into space. And now you got Elon Musk throwing up satellites. I mean, like at a rate that's amazing. And you got so many advances going. I'm not going to say, listen, are there wackos? Is there a Kim Jong-un? Is there a guy who can throw a bomb? And things happen. We had 9/11 back in the day. We had, of course, World War One. Hello. World War Two. Hello. Vietnam. I could get into all those things that really cost a lot of lives. And I think we're losing less lives. We have better technology. Medicine is even better. You know, like you said, Operation No. They're building robots.
But then again, you know, when it comes to loss of life, what is America also funding? I mean, you got to mention Israel, you got to mention Palestine, you know, you got to see what's going on in Gaza. So, you know, now war is an export, right? So,
yeah,
maybe it's not happening here yet, although it does happen every day here as well. Pockets of violence pop off all the time. But it's, you know, what are we exporting? And we've exported a lot of bloodshed across the country and across the world. But you're right. I mean, I love America. I say all of this because I love America. And
I know
my father's a German immigrant. And, you know, this is my place. I've driven across America 4 fucking times now. And everywhere you go, you're going to meet nice people. There's so much space. There's so
more nice people
folks.
Than not.
And, you know, no one has ever said something to me like a negative comment on social media or Reddit. No one's ever said anything like that.
Ben, nobody, when you're out there, nobody says to you, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
Well, it's because the people who are actually.
If anything, they don't want to talk about it. They're like, please, God, we're people here. Like, because they understand that those two ideologies and those two parties they fracked us emotionally. And now we're fighting, you know, over, you know, we're just. What they have us fighting over right now is such social bullshit, and it's really sad. So they can just go and do everything else that really matters behind the scenes.
And on that note, I also believe that, you know, we got people in America, let's make everything made here. Man, listen, we live in a world economy. That's not changing. You can't be isolist today. Do I think we can bring back jobs? Do I think America can make more stuff, like you said, even export or build and invent and stuff? Because I think we got to that lazy part, if you want to call it that, Ben. On that note, I'm gonna end it with you. You know, of course, you. First of all, when is your show coming out?
I'm gonna start it in June, so that'll be great. It'll be called the Ben Kissel Channel, and then I'll just start like maybe just once a week, and then build from there. So just kind of hopping back into it. I can't wait to do that. So that'll be real fun. And I don't know. Thanks for all the encouragement out there. Thanks for all the fans and for the listeners. They've been amazing. And I've been getting some pretty cool art in my P.O. box. So So I'm getting back. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's been rewarding in so many ways.
Well, Ben, we become friends.
And I got a new bird. I got a bird.
You know, they live long, Ben. They live long.
I know. I got one, though. It's outside. It's on my Instagram, Ben Kissel 1. I named it Orenthal after OJ. So I might have the reincarnation of OJ. Right on my court.
It's a phoenix.
What do you have to say, Nick?
I said, is it a phoenix?
No, it's something real tiny.
Oh.
You don't even know what it is. Is he African-American?
I am no. It's real tiny. It's just a cutie pie.
No, Ben, I want to say, we've become friends. I love your conversation. I love your intellect in what your heart is as big as your body. And I think you're going to have a great show. Whatever your topics are, your information will be in this at all times. You know, whatever.
That. And I also love your cigars. I just told you I finished my second box, so I got to send you some money to get some new ones. But I never thought I was going to be a cigar guy. I wake up early now, and I just sit on the porch. My dog, he plays in the front yard with his little cat I'm taking care of. And I just love your cigars. So if someone looking to get into the game, I don't know. I just found him to be like just fantastic, super chill. And
you know, Ben, just to let you know, a study just came out and I'm within a couple of years. Did you know if you smoke cigars and not smoke anything, you have a longer lifespan by smoking cigars?
Well, there you go. Well,
and that's just because of stress, I think. What you just said it all. You sit outside. After me on a tough day, I can go on my patio with my mom, smoke a cigar. And it's really relaxing. Thank you for that.
Does it refer to barbecue at all? Because I will consume me some smoked brisket.
Ha! Now me too now. Don't get me on that thing. I'm getting too fat. But
nah, Ben, you look good, Lair.
No, you do. You are. Ben, thank you again. Wish your girl, your people, your friends luck. My best. And, of course, we're going to stay in touch. I'd love to have you on next month again. You know, we could do some, you know, before you go. And whenever. And if you have anything to say, Ben, your word means something to a lot of people. And we get replies about that. And
thank you. Their words mean a lot to me.
Yeah. Good.
They really do. Because
Nick, you want to close us out, Nick?
So, everybody, see ya. Have a good night. Everybody, have a good one.
Hey, Ben, that's Morty's voice as Morty's our mascot. That was Nick's voice saying, you know, I'm a union guy. I'm supposed to get paid.
I love it.
Best of Power Box.
Nice to meet you, Morty. Good job, buddy.
Hey, Ben, take care. Be safe, brother. And we're going to talk again anytime. Have a great man. I love talking.
I'm going to go watch the Knicks hopefully beat Boston as long as OJ doesn't stop the coverage again.
I remember that so good. Take care, everybody. That's Ben Kissel, guys. He will be coming out in June. We will let you know. Have a great day, everybody. Please stay safe. And Morty, take it away.
Who's OJ again? Tell me one more time. Who's that? What are we talking about? Who's OJ?
We're talking about Ben Kissel, and Ben Kissel's going to have a show coming out. Start whenever. You can find it here. We'll have it linked all the time, and we're going to put it on one of my favorite links. Have a great day, everybody. Please stay safe.